We are glad you're joining us today. This is Tom and Julie Meekins of Champions for Parents, a ministry that seeks to empower and encourage all parents, especially those raising a child with special needs or any kind of challenges. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about engaging our children when they zone out, stim, or get distracted.
In these podcasts, we want to bring you information that empowers you on your journey as a parent. Our desire is to share with you what we have learned over the years as parents, raising our typically developing children and our children who struggled with various special needs. We wouldn't be where we are without a knowledge of and a relationship with the God who made us. Through Jesus, we are able to begin to make sense of the challenges before us. This week, before delving into what we can do to engage our distracted child, let's consider some thoughts from God's Word. God has a lot to say about mindset. Mindset is how we think. Mindset is the way, is what we think about. Our thoughts control our behavior, if you really think about it. As a person thinks, so he is. What is in the mind usually comes out as behavior. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 45 says, "Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." And in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned, received, heard, or seen, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So how are you to renew your mind? By studying, reading, thinking, spending time in the Word of God. Spend time thinking about what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy in day-to-day life. Our behavior happens from what we think about. Before we take action, we often think about it. Even a reaction is a result of the way we think. And as we turn our thoughts now to engaging your distracted child, we will talk about very practical ways to help our children think properly. When they get stuck, we want to guide our children forward on their journey.
Very, very wise words and a great foundation for what we're going to talk about today. How do we engage our children who are driven to distraction? Some of our children get stuck in certain patterns of behavior that are not serving them well. Some of our Amy's favorites were spinning in circles on her bottom before she learned to walk. Walking around tables.
Remember when she used to do that? To go round and round and round.
Getting stuck on certain TV shows. Okay, so there was this one show called Zoom. I don't know if it's still on or not, but it was an excellent show. It was a very educational show. There was lots of little pieces in it that we really liked. Occasionally when children were giving advice and wisdom to one another, we were a little concerned that that wasn't really good wisdom. But for the most part, it was a really good show. So our Amy loved this show, but we didn't realize how much until one day she took a calendar, and you know there's usually 30 or 31 squares on a calendar page, and she wrote the word Zoom 30 times on those calendar pages in each one of those squares.
She had to make sure that she knew that Zoom was on that day, and so she kept writing it on the calendar so she wouldn't miss the show.
She wrote it in one sitting, and I realized at that time that she was so caught up in the show And of course, she was talking about it a lot too, that it wasn't serving her well because she was really kind of captured by this show and it wasn't good. Another thing that she used to do is zone out on the paint feature on the computer when she was manipulating the paint feature. She would just zone out. And occasionally, we'd walk by the computer and we'd say, "Hey, Amy," and she'd jump because she was zoned out and what she was working on.
Drawing dots and then another dot and another line, a line, a line, a line.
Yeah, it was not healthy what she was doing. And we've seen other children do things like open and close doors repeatedly, line up toys or other objects in an unhealthy way, flapping hands. One little guy that we know was obsessed with public restrooms. He needed, everywhere they went, he had to find the bathroom, he needed to flush the toilets and run the faucets. Some children do a rocking motion over and over. Some kids like to spin things. Some kids are pacers. And, you know, like Amy walking around the tables, they'll just pace and pace. And some do a lot of stimming with jumping and clapping. We've learned that it's really very important to help children out of these stims.
Redirect, yes. You may want to check out our Amy's YouTube video discussing this very thing. We've put the link in the podcast show notes.
So what you want to do is redirect your child.
Right.
We don't want to come at them in a very negative, overpowering, overbearing kind of way. We just want to engage them with specific play. And so here's some ideas. These children need you to teach them to play. Often they don't even know how to play. They just are zoning out on every little anything that feeds their sensory system in a hyper way. So we need to teach them to zoom airplanes. That's what airplanes do. Manipulate cars, maybe on roads. Burp the baby dolls. And lots of other ways.
So we're not stopping them completely from doing any activity. We're redirecting them to profitable activity or
Absolutely.
More socially acceptable activity.
So you want to extend an invitation to a purposed activity.
Right.
So create an environment in your home where you have stations for purposed play. You'll see these in preschool classrooms. For example, toy kitchen with dishes and food, a toolbox with wrenches, screwdrivers, and hammers.
And for me, a toolbox is a toy box. Yes.
Maybe also a garage with cars and a road system. You know, a carpeted rug. You know those rugs now that they have out that have all these little roads and
Our
little houses and things
that.
On it? And
mm-hmm.
kids do, they love that. So that's one idea. What we used back in the day was masking tape on the floor.
Create your own road.
Those
yes.
were the roads, you know, that we used, and the kids had a good time with that. You might want to consider setting up a book center where a child can go and sit down and purposely look through books. And then some sensory play stations, maybe a bean bucket with measuring spoons, cups, or find objects in the beans. Play-Doh, manipulating Play-Doh and making real things, not eating it or doing weird things with it, but actually making some things with it.
So are these things that children may even stim on in themselves?
They can, yes. Well, a child that is prone to getting stuck this way, it can stimulate on anything in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to be kind of watching them all the time and redirecting when it looks like it's getting over the top. But you can use these stations to guide your child through and teach them to play appropriately. They need you to be a role model to show them how to play appropriately. Carve out time in the day to walk through playing with toys in a purposeful way. You may want to bring in other children to teach your child. Call in the helpers. This is what we
Yes.
did. We called in the siblings. Anytime grandparents are around, or aunts, uncles, cousins, older elementary children, middle school, high school, college students, Amy's older siblings were the STEM police. Whenever they would see Amy doing something that wasn't a good way for her to be spending her time, like walking around the tables or scooting around on her butt when she was little, or, you know, getting stuck in the paint on the computer,
or
whatever
staring
else.
Staring at the fan. The
yes,
the
any kind
fan.
Of staring at ceiling fans. you know, they were great at redirecting her, or at least at first they would help me to know that that was going on, because we had four children and she was the baby and we homeschooled and there was a lot of things going on in our home. But putting one of her siblings on her, you know, at least one of her siblings on her at all times, really helped us to keep her from zoning too far in. Take a look at diet, too. We've noticed through the years working with families that some foods create an environment where children are more inclined to either stim in a hyper mode or totally zone out. One person took their child off rice and the stimming stopped. Hmm. Isn't that amazing? Another child was affected by corn chips. Corn chips. Dairy and wheat have definitely been problems for children who have a tendency to stim. Now, I'm not saying that any one of these things is going to be the thing that is going on with your child, but you definitely want to look at what they're eating and see if certain foods might be causing more stims than less stims. Or, you know, just kind of watch out what's going on. Maybe keep a food diary. We recommend that for a lot of our clients. Keep a food diary and see what kind of behaviors are associated with the different kinds of foods that the children are eating. Do not ever allow a child to hang out with a stim behavior. It could cause them to go deeper and deeper into their own little worlds. This behavior allows them to produce more endorphins. Endorphins are those happy chemicals in the brain, which is just like what's going on with someone with an addiction, an alcoholic, a drug, you know, overdoser, or a drug addict, or even food addictions, any kind of addictions. That is what's going on. They're producing endorphins. It feels good. Let me do more. And so we want to keep our children from going down that road so that they get stuck. Now, I know how hard it is to watch a child 24/7, but as much as you can set up your environment so that there are purposed play stations and, you know, even just real life stuff that's going on, and then taking your child to different places and teaching them to do the things that are going to be more beneficial to them in social skills and in life skills. So we recommend, this is a really, really important thing for children who have a tendency to get stuck. And there are a lot of us out, a lot of parents who are dealing with this. So we wanted to make sure that we brought that one up on a podcast. Okay, so now we come to
the section we call the tip for the week. And this is a little long one, but it's a very valuable, valuable tip of the week. This tip comes from the folks at the National Center for Biblical Parenting. We truly appreciate the material they produce because, number one, it's based on principles from the Bible. Number two, it's practical. And number three, it's heart-based. And four, it's relationship building. And the list goes on and on. We are honored, Tom and Julie and I are, we're honored to be connected with them as their special needs specialists. Visit their site at biblicalparenting.org. That's biblicalparenting.org. Today, we want to share briefly a little recipe they have to understand and promote honor among the members of your family.
Children need to know what godly character looks like in practical terms. We love the character quality of honor, and this is Joanne and Scott putting forth this information, not just because God commands it, but also because it has so much rich meaning for parents and children. It can give direction in many of the frustrating moments we experience in family life. In fact, every form of selfishness has an honor-based solution. This is the little definition that Scott and Joanne came up with. Honor means treating people as special, doing more than what's expected, and having a good attitude. Use our honor definition or make up your own. The point is that honor changes people. It changes the way that parents relate to their children, the way children relate to each other, and the way children relate to their parents. We all need it. You can use the concept of honor in connection or in correction or when things are going well. You can use it when you teach your children about money, time, and other resources, and you can teach it when conflict comes around. One fun way to teach it is on special occasions when someone wins a contest or earns a certificate. You may show honor by giving that person a fancy place at the table or by decorating his or her bedroom door. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So, Joanne Miller and Scott Taransky of the National Center for Biblical Parenting go on with some more ideas. Honor is fun.
It's like oil in a machine. It gets work done with less friction and less heat. Every family needs honor. It's great when things are going well and essential when family relationships are strained. You can work on honor when your kids are preschoolers or teens. It will change the way your family relates. One of the ways that parents can teach honor to children is to include it in the instruction process. You might say, "It's time to obey me by setting the table. Then I want you to think of something extra to do to surprise me." That's showing honor. You choose. It's up to you. Report to me when you're done, and I'll check your work.
Surprising parents delights them and focuses on something they want or need. Instructing children to surprise you by doing something extra teaches them to think about your needs and desires, not just getting away with the bare minimum. When your child does an extra task, it's like giving you a gift. Receive the gift with delight. This can be a fun way to teach honor. Honor involves doing more than what's expected. All family members need to practice honor, and children can learn it when parents teach it. So, look for ways to teach kids to do more than what's expected in daily life. It will not only make family life more enjoyable now, but it will also help kids be more successful as they get older.
When was the last time you received a surprise gift? Don't just think about the big surprises like a birthday gift, but think of the little ones, like an unexpected thank you or an encouraging word from someone that you appreciate. It's those little surprises in life that give a real lift to our days. Honor does the same thing. It gives more than what's expected. It adds energy to relationships, and the result is delight. Try a little experiment. Several times today, give little unexpected gifts of kindness and watch what happens. Give a small gift here, a patient response there. Let someone go in front of you or encourage someone with a compliment. Watch the smiles and other pleasant responses. Those are all examples of ways to show honor. People are delighted and you feel joy in your heart. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, Jesus made several statements about the value of doing more than what's expected. In verses 38 to 39, he says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth." That's what's expected. "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." That's doing more than what's expected. Jesus talked about the benefits of giving a little extra to others. He talked about going the extra mile, turning the other cheek, doing your acts of righteousness in secret, and blessing your enemies. These are all examples of honor. God loves honor and even rewards those who give it to others. Honor not only benefits others, but it changes the giver and makes him or her more enjoyable to be around.
Scott Taransky and Joanne Miller go on to say, honor means treating people as special, doing more than what's expected, and having a good attitude. We work hard to develop honor in family life and are continually looking for new ways to teach it. One helpful way to teach honor is to be generous as a family. Generosity opens our hearts as well as the hearts of the people who receive from us. Giving doesn't just focus on money. In fact, money is one of the easier things to give. A harder gift is that of time, attention, loyalty, or commitment to others. Giving can be exciting. Planning the surprise, delivering it, watching the person's response, and enjoying the personal satisfaction of giving all add joy to family life. When a family works together to be generous, something happens in the members who participate. They feel a sense of teamwork. They enjoy the satisfaction of giving, not just individually, but the good sense of family pride. I want to stop here for just a minute because this reminded me just now. Do you remember the Christmas where we got 12 gifts left at our doorstep the 12 days before Christmas?
Yes.
And we had no idea who was delivering these things. Yes. I can't even remember what all the items were. I think there might have been a book. There might have been some baked goods. It was all really special stuff that we really enjoyed. And our kids were young. And it was such a special time for us. We were crazy to think of who it might have been. Tom even set up a video camera to see if we could find out who it was that was delivering these special gifts to us. But what a wonderful time. We found out later that it was two families that were working together with their children to bring these gifts to us. So they had the joy of being together in on this fun little project, and their children were learning how to give surprises and to bring joy to another family.
Giving is fun, and doing it in secret can make it even more fun and exciting, just like that. Be on the lookout for honor opportunities for your family. Sometimes families will plan that anonymous gift. And here's an example. Hannah, age 13, reported that she overheard Mrs. Robertson talk about losing all of her encyclopedias when her basement flooded. Knowing that the Robertson family didn't have a lot of money, Hannah's family decided to replace them. They went to several libraries asking for a used set. They paid a small price for the set, and that it happened to be newer than the one Mrs. Robertson had lost. They decided to give the set anonymously, which meant more planning and careful strategy. Seeing a need and meeting it through an anonymous gift became a meaningful experience for Hannah's family. In fact, Hannah herself saw that her own observation contributed to the family's decision. And the book that Scott Taransky and Joanne Miller of the National Center for Biblical Parenting, the book on honor, they call it the honor book, but when it went to the publisher says it has to have a really catchy title, and here's the title: Say Goodbye to Whining, Complaining, and Bad Attitudes in You and Your Kids.
And there's a picture of this angry little boy crossing his arms on the front cover. And we've seen at book tables, when we've presented this book and when Scott and Joanne presented at their conferences, we've seen people come up, parents come up to the table and say, "I need that book. We need this help at our family." So we thought that this would be a good thing for you guys to get a little synopsis of.
Right, and you can find it at the National Center for Biblical Parenting, which is biblicalparenting.org.
And that is the end of the advertisement for today. Now, I'm really glad that you ran and got the book. When we first started, when we sat down to do this recording, we were just going to share this information with you. And during the course of my sharing, Tom remembered that we had the book and that we should probably tell people where this material is coming from. So that was really good. I'm glad you did that.
Okay. Well, that's been our podcast. So as we always say, remember, it's never too late. And there's always hope for your child. We're Tom and Julie Meekins, and we bring you these podcasts through our ministry, Champions for Parents. We are USA missionaries to parents, especially those who are raising a special needs child or a child with challenges, through pefministry.org. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child. We teach online classes and love to speak in person to parent groups wherever they meet. We've spoken to parent conferences, mothers of preschoolers, moms next groups, homeschooling groups, ladies brunch groups.
And we just got an invitation to do some workshops at some Awana conferences.
Yes, and that's coming up in the next couple of months. We also like to talk to church groups about our ministry to see if they want to join our team and come on board with us to offer support, encouragement, and empowerment to all parents, especially those who are raising a child with any kind of challenges within their communities and beyond. If you know of any parenting groups who are looking for a speaker, send us an email at championsforparents, that's the number 4, championsforparents@gmail.com, and let's get the conversation started. And if you want to receive our monthly newsletter, please send us an email at championsforparents@gmail.com. We would love to connect with you.
We know you already have a heart for giving and are looking for ministries that resonate with you. If you too have a heart for kids who struggle and their families, and you are looking to partner financially with a team who deeply cares, who has been there, and who is on the cutting edge of providing opportunities for empowerment for these families, get in touch with us at championsforparents@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to the next time. May you have joy in your parenting journey.
Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.